I think when you come to sarin gas, there was no, he was not using the gas on his own people the same way that Assad is doing. I mean, there was clearly, in the he brought him into the to, there was not in the in the to the Holocaust Center. I understand that.
That's all, folks. I've never been to a Holocaust Center. Is that in Orlando now? Is that next to one of the Six Flags Holocaust Center? Welcome to Holocaust Center. Oh, he wants that one back. In fact, it sort of ties into what we're about to talk about here, and that is how we communicate these days. We thought it would be fun to talk to our guest, Leslie Shore. She's a communications expert. She's the author of a book, Listen to Succeed. But she also talks about how people communicate generally and what our body language says about us as we do it. So maybe we'll start there and then go on to some of the other skills that we could all benefit from. Leslie, it's John Williams, and you're on WGN in Chicago. How are you?
I'm wonderful, John. How are you?
Look at that, a positive with rising intonation. Clearly that
you
says
bet.
this is a positive, confident, and a happy person who's willing to engage, right?
Absolutely, especially after that intro and the craziness of the last day or so, we have to remain positive.
What do you think about the way Sean Spicer communicates generally, or maybe specifically in that instance?
Well, there are a couple of things that are extremely obvious, especially in what we just heard. He was stumbling quite a bit. He was trying to take back what he said, which was totally impossible. He was holding on to that podium for dear life, because in actuality, I think that was the only thing that was keeping him from figuratively or literally falling. His body language, his downcast eyes, everything was saying, oh boy, I'm in a mess and I don't know how to get out.
You know, it was a two-part problem for him, because he originally made the Hitler analogy with Assad,
yes,
and then they called him on it, and probably as he was formulating the second part, the response to that, he probably knew I'm screwed, and he tried to fix it. And I suggested yesterday, I wonder what you would think as a communication expert, if this would have helped him, if he would have said, you know what, even as a spokesperson for the president, he's a human being. What if he had just said, you know what, you guys, that last answer made no sense. I was winging it. I was trying to vilify Assad more than necessary. Just completely clawed the whole thing back instead of trying to explain it or nuance it, you know?
John, I wish everyone would listen to you and pay attention. And the reason I'm saying that is because in that situation especially, honesty is the best policy. If you are able to say, I am human, and are able to say, can I have a do-over, please?
Yeah.
That, you know?
Yeah.
That would actually make the people in the press corps actually feel sorry for the guy. But when you, in your communication, have such a situation where your ego is demanding that you get yourself out of this as well as possible, then you're actually going to end up doing.
Yeah, he was still trying to score points on the way out the door. I wonder if maybe the president said, I want you to make him sound even worse. That is Assad. So let's use the Hitler analogy. I mean, maybe he had marching orders there and he was still trying to fix it as he was failing. But either way, it was a fail.
It was a fail. And I think also whether the analogy was appropriate or not, it is a question of when you compare folks like that, then you actually are somewhat giving one or the other a free pass. Look, call it out for what it is. Be honest.
Let's talk for a minute about the way we all communicate. I think as a parent of somebody who's 24 years old,
yes,
I see people a little younger and a little older than them having challenges with communication that maybe my wife and I don't have. Would you agree with that?
I would, John, and one of the reasons is because they have grown up with social media, with their noses down into a smartphone, texting, doing things on platforms that we never had. And as a result of that, their face-to-face communication is not as developed in their brain, and we're talking about neural pathways, as it is for us. They're very good at other things, but the ability to read facial expressions, body language, or even tone of someone's voice is not as mature as it needs to be.
Really? I mean, that sounds anecdotal. I mean, we all say that, but do you think, in fact, that's true, that younger, pick an age, somebody under the age of 25 to 12, that they don't pick up on social cues as well as their parents did?
As well as no. It's kind of like the emotional intelligence, and in this case, it's social intelligence, and you can only become good at something if you practice and practice and practice. But if you're constantly with your head on a computer or in a cell phone, when are you practicing being with people and being able to pick on those social cues?
Yeah. Are those social cues advantageous to you if you know how to use them? Because these days, a good emoji seems to satisfy most people's need to, you know, physically demonstrate something in their language.
Well, it's interesting.
And by the way, I hate emoji, just so you know, but go ahead.
I totally get that, because to me, sometimes emojis make you very lazy or make the other person look like they're very lazy. But when it comes to body language, if you understand it and you're having a conversation with someone,
yeah,
and their body language and what they're saying are not in agreement, the fact that you can read the nuance and decode that body language puts you in a one-up position, because you know that they are not being truthful.
Or I can play them, too. I mean, manipulate them in a good way. I'm a salesman. I want you to buy my product. So maybe if I understand the body skills and language better, I can get the sale.
Yes, as long as you don't overdo it. Folks who are really good at decoding body language will see one exaggerated gesture and start watching for the other things, and then that sale can go trickling down the drain.
Well, you know what I also find challenging for people is body space. Maybe these are related, but, you know, I'm happy to receive you, but I have this invisible shield, and some people are on the wrong side of it, right?
That's very true, and especially in a multicultural world, we do have to understand what that space, what is personal space. In the United States, personal space is 36 inches. In Latin America, it's about 18. So if you have someone who is Latino who gets to within 18 inches of you, that's normal for them. It's not normal for you. So then you have to decide, what am I going to do?
Are you saying, so everybody now is imagining a yardstick around their waist.
Exactly.
I should not penetrate that zone in business or casual conversation with somebody, huh?
Business conversation, yes. Casual, if you know the person, getting closer is fine. But that is something that you begin to understand in each individual situation by watching the body language,
yeah,
of the person that you're getting closer to.
And maybe you don't. Maybe you don't. I mean, there have been times where I've felt close to people and I get in their space, and my wife kind of literally and sometimes in my ear, but she pulls me back. She goes, let that person breathe a little bit. And I think some of us use it as a means of trying to convey friendship or some sort of, you know, intimacy. But I suppose it doesn't always feel that way to the other person, right?
No, because sometimes they could see it as exerting power. And unless you know that person well enough, you don't want to make that mistake.
Yeah.
Once you get to know them really well, then you're okay.
But, okay, so this is physical stuff. I maybe should be more interested in digital stuff. Do you have any tips for all of us about communicating with other people online on our devices? You've talked a little bit about speaking to people in person. And maybe you've got a comment too. 312-981-7200. I'm John Williams. On a phone line is Leslie Shore. She's a professor, author, and communications expert. Her book is titled, aptly enough, Listen to Succeed. We'll pick it up here in a minute. Please listen to WGN.